That reading comes at a time when the Israelites, God's people of the Old Testament, have been delivered from bondage, and the second generation that came out of Egypt were about to take the promised land. The first generation had perished because of their disobedience to God. But this generation was getting a fresh chance. And Moses recounts to them how that God, back when they had been delivered from their Egyptian slavery, had brought them to Mount Sinai. And when the Ten Commandments were initially given to the Israelites, they stood at the bottom of the mountain as it quaked, as fire and smoke was seen, and God literally spoke to them. Moses' reference there tells us that as he reminds them of that situation, some of them would have been children, some of them may not have been born at that time, of what a moment that was. Moses looks upon it as a sacred moment and one that he cherished. Why? Because you see two things. The people had an overwhelming reverence for God at that moment. That the physical manifestations of God's glory was just overwhelming for them. It struck them with great even fear, which caused them to ask Moses to go up and get the law. You go get the words of God. You go get the instructions. And you come back and you tell us, because it's too much for us to hear. But the other thing that Moses, as you see here, speaks of fondly even, is that he saw at that moment a heart in these people. A heart that said, God, whatever you want us to do, whatever you speak to us, we will do that. But what about us? God has spoken to us. Are we overwhelmed by that? And are we responding in a way that we are also committed to do what He says? I'm very grateful to have everybody here today. It's a new year and a new first day of the week. And we have visitors with us from the area, and we're so glad that you've chosen to be here. We still have some lingering college students, and we are so glad to see you. I know your parents are even more so glad to have you home. And we bid you our prayers and our best wishes as you go back and continue to study. And the other things that you do, but especially as you go back and you continue to work and study, the things that you're supposed to be doing. But this church is blessed. I really hate that our college kids go to college somewhere else, because we've got some really quality young people who are college age. And this church could really benefit from them. But you are elsewhere, and you are benefiting those people, and so we're glad for that. Well, it's the first Sunday of this new year, and as you know, we are going to start a new focus as a congregation for 2013. Well, what is this about? We did it last year. Well, we select a theme, and it's based upon something that the elders believe that needs our attention or merits our attention, that it touches something that would help us. In other words, it addresses needs that we have. Let us understand that it's not to the neglect of other things. At your house, you may pick a room to redecorate, or you may decide to repair the roofing or replace the windows. But you still clean the rest of the house, and you still do other minor things and maintenance activities to keep the house up. Well, there are things that we're to be maintaining all the time. But for the year, we're going to focus on something in particular. While we generally maintain ourselves, this is something that we want to give extra attention to. And to start that, I want you to consider with me the words of the Apostle Peter as he's guided by the Spirit to write to these Jewish Christians in the first letter that Peter pens. And look what he says here in chapter 2. He says to them, therefore, putting aside all malice, and all deceit and hypocrisy, and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. He first speaks in verse 1 about the transformation that we're to have in our moral character, that the typical human behavior and pollution and bad behavior that can be part of our lives, that we put that away, the malice and the envy and the deceit that we put aside those things, that we cleanse ourselves of those things. This transformation. He speaks in verse 3 of this gratitude we're to have. That if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, or if you've known the Lord to be good, if you understand who the Lord is, and you've tasted that relationship, and you appreciate that fellowship, then this is something you're going to want to do. You're going to want to be transformed because you want to become the person He wants you to be, and you want to be closer to Him. And that's why He calls for the action that He does in verse 2. The action of longing for or desiring the Word. We've already seen that sometimes in history, though rare, God verbally speaks His Word. But for most people who have lived through time, including us, He speaks, but He speaks through the written Word, like we've even read and referred to this morning. And that Word is described as the pure milk of the Word. And that expression of milk is telling us something about its purity, but also something about its nourishing value. We understand that any young living creature, like even a lamb or a calf or a human even, is nourished in those early days, weeks, and even years with milk. It's that pure milk from the mother that will promote the health of that living, growing being. And just like babies needing the milk for nourishment, we as spiritual babes need the nourishment of the Word of God. And note the action. That you long for, that you desire the pure milk of the Word. Note how that is really the hinge. God's Word is pure and nourishing. God's Word can transform us. It's an extension of His goodness and kindness. But it will only have its effect if we desire it, if we long for it, if we thirst for it. And look at the outcome. If we do, we'll grow. We'll become the person that God wants us to be. Do you see two things here in summary? First of all, that God's Word is absolutely necessary for spiritual growth. There is no way that you can progress as a Christian. There is no way that you can grow spiritually without the Word of God. It's impossible. And second of all, in order to transform us, in order for that Word of God to have its effect, there has to be this deep and constant longing or thirst for it. We have to supply that as God supplies His Word. So this year, what we're going to be focusing on as a congregation is the idea of growing in the Word. That we all need to grow, we all need to change, we all need to advance, we all need to progress, we all need to be transformed. And the catalyst to that is the Word of God. So by definition, what we're talking about is a focus this year as a congregation on the need to be nourished and nourished regularly, just like a babe is, by the Word of God so that we can grow in Jesus Christ. So we're going to emphasize this year spending more time with the Bible. We're going to emphasize enlarging our understanding of the Bible and emphasizing also the dynamic impact that the Bible can have on our lives. It is a powerful thing. And the change that it can wrought, the help that it can give, is astounding if we long for it and let it do its work. Well, yesterday I sent you an email that had a list of at least some of these activities. And just to give you a little preview, and this is not an exhaustive list because there will be things that we'll be adding during the year, but I want you to see that this is really what we're going to be doing to fulfill this goal here of growing in the Word. Understand that a lot of what we're going to do is issue a personal challenge to grow in the Word. We're going to talk more about that in a few minutes, about the personal things that we need to do. You know, and there's this balance here. We are individually responsible before Christ. I can only give an account for myself. You can only give an account for yourself. But we're called to be a body. We're called to be a functioning family in Jesus Christ. And so while we stand or fall on our own, so to speak, and we have a personal responsibility, we can give each other help, encouragement. And that's what we're doing this year. What we're driving at here is the outcome of all of us individually growing in the Word. But as a congregation, we want to encourage each other to do that. And there are going to be sermons that will help facilitate this. Not just sermons. There are other things we're going to be doing. But in January, all the sermons are going to be dedicated to this theme of growing in the Word. And through the year, I'm going to be sprinkling sermons around this theme. And some of them are going to be more thematic and conceptual about the role of the Word of God. But some of them, we want to be very specific. Because we're talking about a function here of learning the Word of God and growing in it. And there are just some specific practical things we need to be doing to accomplish that. The other thing we're going to be doing as a congregation is working through the highlights of the Bible. And there's going to be there's a reading schedule that you have, more on the notebook in a moment, a reading schedule about the highlights of the Bible. A reading schedule that doesn't include all the books and all the chapters of the Bible, but highlights. Sometimes you see Bible reading schedules, and they're great. We have one on our website, and you may have one in the back or the front of your Bible, and you may have done that sometime, and those are great. And if you want to keep working on a Bible reading schedule that you have and you like, then more power to you. But also, we're going to be doing this highlights of the Bible. It's not exhaustive. Sometimes you can read through the Bible in a year or read through the Old Testament in a year or something like that, and those are great. This is not that. It's not that demanding. It's lighter than that. But what we're going to be doing is reading through the highlights of the Bible, encouraging you to do that, and then do some things with that. Once a month, I'm going to do a lesson capturing those highlights. There are going to be 12 sermons, beginning with next Sunday sermon, Lord willing, 12 sermons that will summarize the whole story of the Bible, starting with Genesis and going all the way to the end of the New Testament. What is it that God is doing? What is it that's happening with mankind? What is it that God wants us to know from the Bible? In 12 sermons, we're going to attempt to summarize that. Also, along the way, I'll be sending out to the congregation bi-weekly email messages. As you'll see in a minute, the highlights readings are bi-weekly. And twice a week, I'm going to be sending you an email message that is sort of like an appetizer as well as a reflection. So whether you've done the readings at that point when you read that email or not, it doesn't matter. It will sort of whet your appetite for it, or it will reflect what you've just read, a very brief email. And if you have email-itis, that's okay, no problem. If you want to somehow block that or tell me you don't want those because you're just overwhelmed with emails, that's fine. Okay, this is all just submitted to you for your use, and use it as you can, as you would like to. Next of all, we started off reading Deuteronomy 5. Our readings this year, we're going to do before the sermon. And the readings this year are all going to be about the Word of God. About the nature of the Word of God. About how the Word of God can change us. Or what we need to do with the Word of God as His people. So watch how that every time there's a scriptural reading on Sundays, that reading is focusing on the idea that God has given us His Word. This is what it's like. This is what He wants us to do with it. Our afternoon classes are going to support this. There are several that we're talking about doing. You may recall that several weeks ago I did a survey, and I want to thank you for very promptly and very thoroughly filling out those surveys about your Bible reading and about your Bible knowledge. Those were incredibly helpful. They were anonymous, and they were just a matter of numbers. But they helped us to see. I looked at them, and I shared them with the elders, and they helped us to see sort of where things were at and what people thought they needed. And so a lot of the things we're doing this year is driven by that, including the afternoon classes that we'll be starting as we do periodically through the year. Also, there are other events that we have through the year. The details of those are still being worked out. You know, some of the weekend meetings that we do, and maybe also some workshops. We're wanting to emphasize how that we live in an age where we're very blessed in that we've got some technological tools in learning and reading and studying the Bible that are just wonderful. And so we're looking at maybe a workshop, somebody coming in helping us where we can learn more about using technology in our Bible study, because there are some great tools out there and some great approaches to using technology and studying the Bible. Now, you have a notebook. Most of you have a notebook. If you're here on a fairly regular basis, remember here, you've been provided one. If not, we'll get you one. But I want you to look at this notebook you've got there. This is your notebook. So one of the things you need to do early on is put your name on it. So if you lose it, they know who to give it to. Somebody knows who to give it to. And you can slide that little cover out from the front. And I forgot to bring one up, so Dahlia's going to let me use hers for demonstration purposes. Thank you, Dahlia. Appreciate that. But you can just slide that little cover out in the front, put your name on it. You can do that whenever you want to. But we want these notebooks to be an aid, but yet for you to customize it. Now, you'll note some things in it. First of all, there is the, on the second page, you'll see the highlights of the Bible reading schedule. What you've got there on the front and the back of that second page through these months in 2013 is a reading schedule of the highlights of the Bible, starting with the book of Genesis. Now, understand the goal in this here. And that is, certainly there are a lot of important things that are not in this reading. I had to pick and choose here. What we wanted was a biweekly reading that was brief and to the point, that gives you a sampling of what the Bible is about regarding the events of the Bible as well as the teachings of the Bible. There are some major things that we've left out. But you'll notice that it's a biweekly reading. So, for instance, starting today till the 9th of January, and these dates don't always fall exactly on the same days of the week. Sometimes it's from Sunday to Tuesday, sometimes Sunday to Wednesday or Thursday, depending on how the numbers worked out. But it's roughly a biweekly reading. And so what we're asking everybody to do is by the 9th to read the first two chapters, and then by the 12th to have chapters 3 and 4 read. Now, you'll note that it skips around. If you want to read what's in between, more power to you. That's great. But if you're reading this, those weekly email messages, as well as those sermons that we're going to be doing throughout the year, will coincide with those readings that you're doing. And it's a good time to say this. What matters most about reading the Bible is reading the Bible, not how much. I mean, you can read 30 chapters and sometimes not benefit from it as much as somebody who reads 3 verses. Now, we understand the more you read, the better, in a way. But it's not just about consuming as much as we can consume. And those reading schedules through the year, we're all different readers. By nature, I'm a fairly slow reader. My wife is a fast reader. Everybody's different. And those yearly reading schedules, they're great. If you like using them, more power to you. But this is one really designed to give you the highlights. It's not that heavy. It's not that demanding. Usually the readings consist of 2 or 3 chapters, occasionally 4 chapters. But usually it's just 2 or 3 chapters over a period of like 2 to 4 days. And so it's very manageable when it comes to doing that. And so the highlights start this week, and we'll work our way through that. And by the year's end, we would have read and talked about and discussed, either here in the pulpit or even through the email messages, what these highlights were about. You'll also note on the third page, and this is really more for the men who read in the public readings, the schedule of the Sunday worship readings. But there's different ways we can use that. You know, this Sunday we read from Deuteronomy 5. Next week it's Deuteronomy chapter 6. On the 13th, and so if you're reading the public readings, man, you can refer to this. But also, the members can use this. It may be that before you come on Sunday morning, that one way you want to sort of mentally prep is to go over this. And then when you hear it read again, it has even more impact for you. It may be that you're a song leader, or you're doing a prayer, or you're making talks at the table. You can look at that reading and sort of see what's coming up later in the service and tie something into that. Use that the way you'd like to use it. You'll also note that there are, toward the back, dividers, tab dividers, and then notebook paper. Now, we didn't put a lot of notebook paper in these, and here's why. There's more if you need it. But everybody's different. And so you take these tabs, and that's why you can pop them out, you know, with the little rings there, and you organize this notebook the way you want to organize it. And maybe there's some things you want to put in it that's not in here. It may be you want more tabs. we'll have a little tray. I forgot to bring it this morning, but you need it today. I have a little tray here in the lobby that we'll set out that I have all kinds of these dividers. So if you need more than three dividers, you help yourself to it. Whatever you need, you get it out there, because if you're going to use it, we want you to have it. And then we'll have more notebook paper out, and so you may need to add more notebook paper. You can use these dividers and this notebook paper when you do your own readings at home, when you sit in a Bible class. I would really encourage you, if you're a note taker, if you're not, if you'd learn better not taking notes, that's fine. But if you're a note taker, I really would encourage you that when I do those 12 sermons this year on the highlights of the Bible, and I'm also going to use a background that has notebook lines on it, to take notes on that. Because what you'll have 12 sets of notes on 12 sermons that summarize the Bible. The Bible's a large book, but it's designed in such a way that you can understand it in a nutshell. And actually, by understanding the basics and understanding it in capsule form, you're really better equipped to understand the details at a greater depth. So there's always a place for that. And so it may be in the afternoon studies. We may be doing something about Bible study or some certain book of the Bible. You may want to use this notebook to take notes in that. However you want to use it. If you don't want to use this much, that's fine. It's small enough where you can carry it back and forth to assemblies and home. It's sturdy enough where it will take a year's worth of tossing around. And so hopefully we've struck the right place there. Not too big, but yet sturdy enough. And again, there are going to be more supplies stationed out there when we meet. If you need more paper, you take all that you want when it comes to that. You also note, and it brings us to this next point that I want to talk to you about, that on the first page are the personal goals. That is, especially, yours and yours alone. I place it at the first so that it will be prominent when you open it up. But this is personal, not congregational. We'll talk in a moment about some congregational objectives. And there are some things we're going to be doing as a congregation. The most important thing, though, is for you to grow in the Word yourself. And I would encourage you to come up with some goals, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, that you think are realistic and needed goals that you need to have in the coming year. Now, I know, I'm not big on New Year's resolutions. And I'm not really talking about that. And sometimes we do things like lists of goals or something like that, and we know you get excited when you first make the list, and then it's just all downhill after that. Well, it is still a healthy practice. And if you make 4 goals for yourself, and you do pretty well on 2 of them, that's great. That's progress. Because, you know, that's what it's all about being a Christian anyway. There's always things we've got to work on. And we realize that we're not doing as well as we need to do, but we got to keep at it. We got to keep working at it. And so I would encourage you to make these goals your own. You know yourself, you know your situation, and you make these your own. They're just between, you know, you and the Lord. Some things you might put down, I wouldn't encourage you to necessarily make this list, but this is just a list to prompt your thinking that your goal is to be more consistent in reading the Bible. That was one of the things, and this is true of all of us, and we'll talk more specifically about how to address this challenge that we have that came up on the survey, to be more consistent. That might be one of your goals. It may be that one of your goals is to read more, that you actually want to read more at a time and consume more. It may be that it's not so much that you want to read more material, more content, but you want to read more deeply. You want to be, you know, more adept at grasping what you're reading rather than brushing by it very quickly. It may be that there is a book in the Bible or a section in the Bible that you're not as familiar with that part. You don't know that part as well. And your goal this year is to learn more about it, whether it be the poetry of the Old Testament or the book of Revelation or the prophets. But you say, I want to learn more about that. And that's your goal this year. And we'll hopefully do some things to help you accomplish that. Maybe some new ways of study. There are some approaches that you've not been using that we can help you see, and you can implement those. Some new tools for study. We are a blessed people. Financially, we are blessed as a people. We have resources. We have personal resources. You know a good thing for you to spend your money on? Our Bible study tools. And I hope to make some recommendations for you on that. And again, we're very blessed. You can buy things, computer software and things like that, where you really get a lot for your buck. If you bought it in, you know, hardback, it would be a lot more expensive. And so we're very blessed to have a lot of those resources today. That might be one of your goals, is to sort of help start build a little Bible study library for yourself. Maybe one of your goals needs to be a better student in a class when you come here for one of our classes on Sunday and Wednesday or some other time like on a Sunday afternoon. You know, how can I grow as a Bible student in a class setting? How can I be a better listener in a sermon? Well, let me tell you this right now. You're good listeners. I've spoken to a lot of audiences. You're a good group of listeners. You really are. I love preaching to you. Okay? It's not a fight to preach to you. I get up here, you're looking at me, you're like, okay, come on with it. You're ready. And sometimes I'll stand before an audience and I've got to reach down and pull them out of the hole. Pull them up. Come up here with me. Here we go. Let's go. And you're not like that. And I so appreciate you. And not that because it makes my job easier, but because of what it says about you. And so, but, you know, you can be a better listener. I can be a better preacher. We can always grow in that. And maybe another good goal is just to read all the highlights. I mean, I just think that's a really good goal. If you want to do read the Bible in a year, that's great. That's wonderful. But just reading these highlights that we've got in this schedule, it's challenging enough. But it's also thorough enough that if you do that, you'll come away at the end of the year enriched because of the material that you experienced. Well, we'll talk to you about four objectives that we have as a congregation. And our goal is that these objectives as a church will help you as an individual in the way in which you need to grow in the Word of God. First of all, to ingest God's Word regularly. This is nothing new. That's why we're here today. But to really think about how that we need to ingest regularly God's Word. That does require some self-discipline. It does require some degree of organization and personal accountability. But I want you to see it as more. And I hope to explore this even further in the coming weeks. If you only see ingesting God's Word, and I use the word ingest because remember the 1 Peter 2 statement? Long for the pure milk of the Word. You know, it would be, I mean, do we really believe this? Let's do things by the Bible. Let's believe what the Bible says and do what it says and use Bible words about Bible things. Well, let's really do that and think about that. In a way, the Bible is like an academic pursuit, learning it, because it is a book and it involves reading and studying. But it's so much more than that. And if you see it as merely an academic pursuit, you're falling so short of what it's about. Biblically, it's good to think in terms of ingesting food. It's referred to as the bread of life. Consistently through the Bible, it's referred to the Word of God, whether it's spoken or written, as food that nourishes us. And so instead of seeing it as, you know, okay, read this many chapters this day and this many chapters that day, and there's a place for that, but think about it like your meals. You eat, and you hunger for the food, and you eat regularly, don't you? It's sort of like your music. You have music, most people do. You either have it on some device you listen to with the earbuds, you have it in the car, you may have it somewhere at home, where you go by and you tap a stereo or whatever, or iHome or whatever you have. It's not like, okay, it's 9 a.m., it's time for my 20 minutes of music. Well, that's good if you want to, okay, here's my 20 minutes. I'm going to have 10 minutes of rock, 10 minutes of pop, 10 minutes of classical. I mean, I guess you could do that. That'd be interesting. 10 minutes of bluegrass. Throw that in there. But that's not how we do music, right? Well, I want you to think in terms of music is something that has an emotional effect on you. And for some people who like the lyrics, They like the messages. Well, the Bible is to have an emotional impact on us. And the Bible is to send us a message. And it would be helpful to think in terms of taking in the Bible like we take in music. How blessed we are to have all this technology and all these resources today that makes that possible. And so I want you to consider that there can be new and varied and even creative mediums of delivery. More on that later. Another objective is to become more familiar with the Bible. Just know more about the Scriptures, both in concept, both in teachings and facts about the Bible, etc. Please, don't be intimidated by that. Sometimes a child in school will be struggling, or they just will not be caught up or at the level of other students in a class. And there's an unfortunate thing that happens sometimes in a student in that situation. Because they don't have, in their understanding, they're aware of this, a good degree of knowledge. They pull back. And instead of asking for help or making the efforts, they actually pull back into a cave and they try to hide the fact that they don't know much or they're struggling or they're lacking somehow. And they actually will insulate themselves and keep themselves from doing the very thing they need to do to gain the knowledge that they need. I think that happens with people in the Bible. Just like kids do that in a class setting, and they watch the other kids, and they see their grades, and they see how they respond to teachers' questions, and they just pull back into a hole. That can happen in a church setting. You look at other people, and you say, wow, they know so much about the Bible. Did you hear her comment the other day? Well, she really has a lot of insights when it comes to the Scriptures. And it's easy to get intimidated. Like, you know, I don't really know a lot about the Bible. And I'm just going to pull in and hunker down and lay low. Don't be like that. You need to get over that intimidation. This is not about what other people know. This is about what you need to know and what you can learn. Shortly, about the time I moved here, I was having some back problems. And they got pretty severe at certain times. And I kept having doctors and chiropractors tell me, you need to exercise. I'm like, okay, you got to be kidding. They said, no, you need to exercise. You got to get your core strong. Okay, everything's the core these days, right? You got to get your core strong. And I just got so bad with it that I said, okay, so I started exercising. And it helped. And the more I exercised, the better I got. And I decided that I went and I joined a fitness center. And I was a member for about a year and a half. I'm not anymore. I'm doing my exercises at home. But I was in such bad shape, I knew I needed a lot of work. And I started exercising. Even doing something I hadn't done for nearly 30 years, lifting weights. And I didn't think I'd ever want to lift weights again. And I started lifting weights, and I thought, well, this feels pretty good. After weeks of soreness, I thought it felt pretty good. And there was one machine that I felt really good on. It was a lat machine. Some of you know what I'm talking about, where you pull it down. It was really good for my back. The lat machine. And boy, I kept moving that pin down on that baby. And I was feeling really good. I was getting pretty far down the stack. You know, I'd get off that thing. You know, I'd feel really good about myself. One day, I walked by, and one of the trainers was on that machine. And I thought, I wonder what he's doing on that machine. He had the pin at the bottom. He was doing the whole stack. And here's what makes it worse. He was doing it one-handed. One-handed, he was lifting the whole stack. And I was doing less than that with both arms. And I thought to myself, he was a younger guy and a trainer. He was one of the guys that trained people around there. And I thought, I remember walking in the locker room thinking, what a wimp. Just an old, sorry, out of shape man. And I got a little discouraged. But then I thought, you know what? A few months ago, I could barely do that. And I got to thinking, you know, I'm not that guy. But I'm not what I was a year ago. I'm a lot stronger. And my back feels good. And I feel better and I'm healthier. Still got a long way to go. But I realized something. And unfortunately, that's what fitness centers usually are about. And I'm glad to use it, and I did it for a while. But it's so much about comparing yourself to others. And this, you know, the testosterone sometimes in those places are like intoxicating. We go over there where the guys are on the dumbbells, you know, and like, oh, give me a break, you know. I thought it was a body odor. No, it's not that. It's not the perspiration. It's the testosterone. Listen, that can't be what church is about. In both ends, none of us should be flexing our biceps in front of each other regarding our Bible knowledge and showing off. But on the other hand, don't let other people intimidate you. They may not be trying to intimidate you. They probably aren't. But don't let that be your excuse. I don't know as much as they do. I've not studied as much as that person or this person. That's okay. That doesn't matter at all. What you need to do is get in there and start your reps. Start somewhere. And learn a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And in 6 months or a year or 2 years, the difference will be significant. And you'll be better for it. That's what we encourage you to do. And to develop also a greater excitement about the worth of the Scriptures. We have such a gift from God. God, the Almighty Creator, has spoken to us. Our world does not value God's Word. Though the Bible is full of treasure, many in the world think it's silly. Or even garbage. So the Bible contains the light from above, from the Almighty. Some think that it's only for the closed-minded and the ignorant. And though the Bible contains the Word of life, the words of eternal life, people are too busy with their small, earthly, temporal, and doomed lives to ever open it. We live in an age that is not only biblically ignorant, but anti-Bible. As far as looking at this world and this life through the Bible, it's considered archaic, ignorant, or maybe even dangerous. That's unusual because for centuries, the civilization that we all came out of was a civilization that did generally recognize, to some degree, the worth of the Scriptures. And did not think it intellectually demeaning to think that. But let us never be embarrassed by the Bible. Or ever make excuses for it. If the world does not value God's Word, that's their mistake. And unfortunately, it's their loss. We should view it as a treasure. As a tremendous treasure. Without it, we would truly be ignorant and in the dark, lost and hopeless. Let us, by the time we finish this year, have a greater esteem for the Bible and become even more excited about what it is and what it can do for us and what it can do even for the world. And let us have a deeper relationship from this. That's why it's so important to start with that Deuteronomy 5 reading today. Those people at Mount Sinai, though they're not always the greatest models later on, but those people at Mount Sinai, they understood something. Those Israelites understood that receiving the Word of God and responding to it was essential to their relationship with God. And so we must. While we're on this earth and in this flesh, though we long for a closer relationship with God, and a more profound experience with God in eternity. While we're in this flesh, on this earth, the Word of God and the written revelation is so much how we facilitate that relationship. We learn of Him in it. We receive guidance from Him in it. And through it, we can deepen our respect and deepen our love for Him. Some of you may know who John Wooden is, if you're a basketball fan. He was the head coach for the UCLA Bruins for decades, actually. And a legendary basketball coach, was the winningest coach in basketball until just a few years, collegiate level. And he was a man that everybody respected. He's one of the giants in college basketball, as far as organization and coaching, trained so many coaches, etc. Very highly respected man. I saw a documentary on John Wooden not too far, long ago. And here's the thing that I remembered. He's aged now. And this is about a year or so ago. I suppose he's still living because he's very aged. And what they began to talk about in this documentary was his relationship with his wife, who has passed on, and how close their relationship was, and what a devoted husband he was. When he retired and UCLA renamed the arena after him, he insisted that it be named after him and his wife. And it showed him doing it. So he's aged and he's alone now without her. Every day, he writes her a love letter. Every day he takes out a piece of paper and he writes a love letter to his wife. Now he's not delusional. He knows she's not there. And he knows there's nowhere he can send the letters. But it's his way of staying connected and expressing his still lingering, profound love for his wife. God is not here. That Mount Sinai thing was rare. He's not here. But he's written us. He's written to us out of his love. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be close to Him. He wants us to be the kind of people that pleases Him, because that's what's best for us. And if we love Him, we'll cherish those words. We'll build our whole life on them. And they will be our guide all the way to eternity. We have a great year ahead of us as we all grow in the Word.